Consider the Atlantic sturgeon. Huge, silvery brown, snout-nosed, covered in horny plates called scutes, prehistoric looking. Like sharks, Atlantic sturgeon have been swimming the seas and breeding in East Coast bays and rivers since dinosaurs roamed the Earth. Some of the earliest vertebrates on the planet, their fossil record dates back 150 million years. Along with cod, Atlantic sturgeon are one of our nation's so-called founding fish. The residents of Jamestown, the New World's first English settlement, would have starved were it not for the protein these fish provided. Early colonists described Native American Powhatan men climbing onto the backs of adult sturgeon and riding them as a rite of passage. Don't try that at home. Atlantic sturgeon were so abundant in the Chesapeake and Delaware Bays in the 18th and 19th centuries that they comprised the two largest caviar fisheries in North America. In those times, it was a spring ritual to watch the annual sturgeon run up the rivers and streams of our region. In fact, Chesapeake mariners of the time complained that there were so many of these lumbering giants that sturgeon constituted a hazard to navigation. Almost unknown to us today, Atlantic sturgeon still carry the distinction of being the largest and longest living organisms in the rivers of the eastern seaboard. Historically, they have been measured at up to 14 feet, weighed in at 800 pounds, and proven to live up to 60 years. But there's a wrinkle to this story. For today, you won't find one of those 800-pounders because, for all intents and purposes, they no longer exist. In annual sturgeon surveys in the Chesapeake Bay since 1950, no young fish have been counted. That's zero. In 1997, a moratorium was placed on all catches, and the Atlantic sturgeon is now listed as a critically endangered species. How did this big, strong, long-lived fish, once so numerous that we complained about it, come to this? The answer is simple and blunt. Humans overfished them, and we made their habitats almost unlivable. At the peak of the Chesapeake Bay sturgeon fishery in the 1890s, 7 million pounds of sturgeon were harvested and shipped off to New York, Boston, and Chicago to satisfy an insatiable demand for smoked Atlantic sturgeon and pricey caviar. By 1920, there were no more fish to catch, and the fishery collapsed. Due in part to its unique characteristics of long life and slow reproduction, the Chesapeake's Atlantic sturgeon population has not been able to recover. They spawn only once every 2 years, and like humans, don't become reproductive until their teens. As an anadromous species, one that lives in salt water for most of its life, then seeks fresh water to spawn, sturgeon need clean, sediment-free rivers to reproduce. Unfortunately, dredging, damming of rivers, agricultural runoff, and growing urban areas mean the Chesapeake region has historically neglected to provide these conditions. But as in every such saga, there is hope. The unsung heroes of this story are fisheries biologists, whose sturdy goal is to bring the Atlantic sturgeon back to viable populations in the rivers of the Chesapeake Bay and the James, Hudson, and Delaware rivers. The Departments of Natural Resources for Maryland and Delaware, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and our own University of Maryland, through its FinFish aquaculture program, are currently building up a brood stock of young sturgeon with a target of releasing them in a few years to repopulate their historic range in waters now much improved. To see this prehistoric fish again in the mighty Chesapeake will be one of those back-to-the-future moments we dream of. Can we do it? To learn more about the Atlantic Sturgeon Restoration Program, visit us at aqua.org/abluview. This is John Racanelli of the National Aquarium for WYPR, your NPR news station.